Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pro Bowl left tackle Joe Staley of the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome to 49ers.com Niner Talk Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Price.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Niner Talk on 49ers.com. This is Taylor Price, and I am joined by rookie wide receiver Nathan Palmer. Nathan, you're making lots of plays out at camp. How's it going for you so far?
Man, it's been great, man. Just going out there trying to do what's asked of me and try to find a role on this team.
Greg Roman was talking about you the other day as someone who's standing out in practice, making all types of receptions against veteran cornerbacks in team periods, red zone, throughout practice making plays. What's it like going against these 49ers cornerbacks, such a talented group?
Oh, man, it's great. You know, these are some of the best corners in the league, and you got all pros out there, you know, and Carlos and T. Brown is a great corner, and, you know, Cully's a great young corner. So these guys, they've been helping me with little tips, you know, telling me what they're looking for, what I can get better at. And I've just been going out there trying to execute and do what I've been coached to do. So
not being drafted, I got to imagine that's a huge chip on your shoulder coming into this situation, looking as a chance to prove to these scouts and these coaches that, hey, you could have drafted me and I could be a big contributor to this team. And it's not just you. There's a great group of undrafted wide receivers, Chris Owusu, Brian Timms. You guys have really buddied up and become a tight group. And Coach even said himself, this is the best group of young receivers I've been around. What's the camaraderie like within that group? And obviously you guys are pushing those draft picks and the veterans to get a spot on this team.
Oh, man, it's great. And, you know, the thing that I like about the rest of Chris and Brian is that we come in and we all, you know, kind of understood that, hey, it doesn't matter if you got drafted or not. Let's just be as hungry as we can and come out here and show that we can compete with these guys. And that's one thing that's been great. You know, our room is stacked with a lot of great receivers from top to bottom. And to go out there and compete is our ultimate goal. But it's been a great competition, a friendly competition as well. So it's been pretty good on us. So.
All right, in college you start at Northern Illinois, and obviously on the West Coast we didn't see too many of those games, but you had a productive career, 16 touchdowns, and really did well at your pro day, 37-inch vertical, 4.4 speed in the 40, and then you came 4.3. Okay, 4-3. We'll get that right. 4.3 for those of you at home. But you came out here before the draft and met with the team, and that was one of the reasons why you decided to sign with the 49ers. Tell us about just your interest level with the team and why it was important for you to come out here, and have you been excited with the way the team has been treating you with your time here in camp?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited. You know, when I came here, it kind of felt pretty much like home. You know, everything was genuine, real genuine. You know, a lot of the coaches said what's up to me in the hallways and things like that. I got to meet Alex when I was here, Alex Smith. And he's, you know, a pretty good guy and was real receptive of me being here on a visit. And, it, you know, when I looked at places to go, I looked at places that were kind of where I've been, you know, as far as like Northern Illinois. And for me, coming here under Coach Harbaugh and Trent Baalke and the rest of the coaching staff, it felt just like being at Northern Illinois and what I've been accustomed to. It's a tight-knit group. It's a family-oriented kind of organization, the way that things are ran around here. So it felt just like home, and it felt like the right fit for me. No matter who was on the roster, how many receivers they had, it felt like the right fit. So
for the fans who are following you on Twitter and they're getting to know a little bit about your personal life and your background, you're a big singer. You have a singing background, and you've been doing some national anthem performances for some college basketball games. I read. Just tell us about your background in music and how that kind of fills your time when you're not doing football.
Oh, well, you know, I always grew up in music. I grew up a church boy. My parents both were very active in the church. And in order for me to be at church, they made a rule in our household that once you go to church, you have to be active in something. And, you know, I chose music. Growing up, I started playing the drums when I was four, and it kind of ventured off into other instruments. And eventually I started singing and got to college, and in order to keep me out of trouble, not that I've been in trouble, but in order to keep me out of trouble and keep my mind, you know, focused on football and school, I use music as a getaway. So that's always been my little thing, and you know, it's just, I was fortunate enough to be blessed enough to be good at it, so.
There's a lot of music going around this training camp. You have the pre-practice music, you have the locker room music. We just heard some country music from the guys in the cold tub. can you give our, I know it's hard to put you on the spot, but can you give our fans a little sampling or a little styling of some of your vocal talents?
Okay, I guess I could. All right, for all the Kings of Leon fans out there, I was roaming around, I was looking down, and all I see is painted faces, fill the places I can't reach. You know I got love for the Niners. There you go.
Ooh, that's pretty good. I like the ad-lib at the end.
Yeah, ad-lib.
Last thing I'll ask you about is just this first preseason game coming up. I mean, that's a big moment in a football player's career, really getting out there in front of the home fans and showing out for the coaches. I mean, there's going to be a lot of film and evaluation from this first game, and it's a great opportunity to get your first step on the NFL gridiron for these coaches and these teams around the league to look at.
Yeah.
What's your excitement level going into this first game?
I mean, I'm very excited. You know, first not only NFL game, but first 49er game. Get to go out there. My mom's going to be in the stands. So her first time traveling out here to California, very excited. First time in front of the fans. But, you know, basically I'm just going to go out here and take it like it's been, like I've been doing in practice, and just try to stay calm and relaxed and go out there and make plays and not make too much about it. You put too much pressure on yourself, and sometimes you don't go out there and perform as well as you should. So with this first game, I just want to go out there and just let it all hang out and show these people what I got, and hopefully we get a win, you know, for the team, for the Niners in preseason, because I mean, we all don't like losing around here, so, and I already know the fans on Twitter don't like losing, so we're going to try to win these preseason games too.
There you have it. You hear it. The pride of Elkhart, Indiana is going to come out and dominate Friday at the first preseason game. Thanks for coming out, Nathan.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, Taylor.
What's up? It's Anthony Davis, starting right tackle for the 49ers, and you're listening to the only official 49ers podcast.
Welcome back to the second edition of Niner Talk on 49ers.com. Joined by the distinguished guests here, we got Matt Mayoko of CSNBayArea.com. Does a great job on TV, on print, and also on Twitter and Instagram these days. Doing a great job covering the team. Matt, thanks for joining us. And how's training camp going so far?
Oh, training camp's going great, Taylor. It's a more solidified team than I've ever seen. This is my 18th year of doing this, so I'm an old-timer, even though I look like I'm a young kid. There's less competition for starting jobs than I've ever seen before, but where the competition is, unlike past years, it's at the bottom part of the roster. It's for the reserves. It's for the role players. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all develops.
18 years covering camp, that's a few more than David Akers, who's our longest tenured Niner, but you have a great experience of covering from the days of UOP, and every year you come out with the UOP shirt, and we haven't seen it just yet. Is that shirt going to make its way out to training camp?
It will. I bought that shirt one of the first years that the 49ers had training camp in at the University of Pacific in Stockton. And then once training camp moved, so I was in Rockland at Sierra College for the final days there, and then we moved to Stockton for summer. And then several years ago, of course, training camp moved here. And it's definitely a different environment. You know, it's not the environment of the past where, you know, the whole operation moved to another city, and, you know, for reporters, we stayed in hotels, the team stayed in dorms. It's a different environment, so I always throw on the UOP shirt once a year just to sort of harken back to those days where, you know, the whole organization and everybody who followed the team just sort of uprooted and moved away for a few weeks.
And today with camp, there's a lot of great storylines with position battles, but also there's some extra storylines out there, the low-hanging fruit that you have to go for different storylines. And today Corey Nelms, he's going to watch his girlfriend race in the 400 meters of the Olympics. That's a great storyline to look at. And then today Vernon Davis, it was reported that he bought a cell phone for Deshaun Goldson to have for the entire year just to say thank you for his appreciations. What types of storylines and facts of training camp is really standing out to you as this is something unique to this team?
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact, you know, you mentioned the Corey Nelms, and also Terrell Brown, very good friends with Aaron Ross's wife, the former Giants cornerback, you know, teammates at Texas, and she won a gold medal, and she's going for another gold medal. You know, it's sort of neat. Every 4 years, you see that there's always, especially in track, there's always an overlap with football and track, because a lot of these guys are, you know, were track stars in high school, and some guys even ran in college. One of the things that over the past couple of days I've been asking guys, okay, you know, after Usain Bolt, and I noticed Vernon Davis put a picture up of Usain Bolt doing, you know, the Bolt after he won the 100 for the second time in a row, second Olympics in a row. I asked some of the guys, if the 49ers had an Olympics, who would be on the podium for the 100-meter dash? And talking to Corey Nelms and Deontay Purvis, two young guys who with track backgrounds who are very fast, of course, both of those guys put themselves on top. And then one name that kept coming up was the guy that Frank Gore mentioned. He said, it's got to be Ted Ginn, got to be Teddy. And so Ted Ginn, you know, a veteran now, it shows that he can still run. And Ted Ginn has had a very good camp. There's no getting around that. And you know, we all know how important he is to the return game, and it's going to be tough to get reps on the field during the regular season as a receiver with the depth there. But Ginn can still bring it. He's still got those feet. And another guy that Frank Gore mentioned, which I thought was interesting, he put on the bronze. He said Vernon Davis was a silver, you know, giving a shout out, of course, to you know, one of his teammates on offense. But he said LaMichael James gets the bronze. He says that guy can absolutely fly, and I think that's one guy that a lot of people are looking forward to seeing once these exhibition games start, just to see how that skill set that he has translates to the NFL level.
And you touched on the limited number of starting jobs that are available at camp, and there's a lot of competitions within practice, and we're always checking out every little aspect of it. But I got to ask you, what would you say is your favorite drill or the one you put the most importance on in terms of determining who's going to be the starter? And if you want, we can give it the GPS distinction.
I love it. Well, you know, to use your term, the low-hanging fruit is the one-on-one cornerback wide receiver drills. Those are always good, and you see some guys who are really doing well, like I think Terrell Brown is doing well. I think Parrish Cox has really stood out in those drills, and of course Carlos Rogers is doing fine. He's always trying to get in there with Randy Moss to test himself. But the one drill that I look at and I'm really fascinated about, because it is such a big part of finding a role on this team at that particular position, is blitz pickup. And Frank Gore is an absolute maniac in blitz pickup. He wants to take every rep. I saw him throw Tavares Gooden to the ground a couple days ago in a blitz pickup drill, and then he wanted to step back out there and do every drill of blitz pickup. And you see Tom Rathman sort of like, you again? No. You know, get off the field. Let's get somebody else in there. And I think even Jim Harbaugh has to say, Frank, enough. Just, you know, wait your turn. You know, you don't have to take every rep. So that's been fun to watch. And I've been surprised. I think Kendall Hunter really has a nose for it. And I think part of that, well, I'd say, you know, 85% of blitz pickup is wanting to do it. And it looks like Kendall Hunter, who has had a fantastic camp after having a good rookie season, has really improved that area of his game. And you know, it's tough to tell with LaMichael James. Sometimes, you know, he's so small. If he's not on point technique-wise, he can get tossed aside pretty easily. But he's another guy that I've seen sort of battle, and looks like there's a lot to work with there.
That's a great call on Kendall. He, you know, being the shortest guy on the team, he uses that leverage pretty well. He's very stout for a 5 foot
like
seven
a little,
runner.
A little fire hydrant, you know, trying to, you know, he's tough. He's a tough guy. Both of those. I mean, I know LaMichael James just from his college days. I mean, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the flash and dash that he did up at Oregon. But you know, the word on him is the guy is really tough. And so we'll see that as camp goes on and as the games go on. But yeah, Kendall Hunter, no denying that guy is. I mean, he's the real deal, and it's going to be tough for any of those running backs, Brandon Jacobs or LaMichael James or Anthony Dixon. It's going to be tough for any of those guys to take carries and playing time away from Kendall Hunter, because man, I'm so impressed by him.
And Friday night, we're going to get a chance to see how all these running backs fare against the Minnesota Vikings, who come into town. They have a strong defensive front led by Jared Allen, who's looking to get 20 sacks. And conversely, they have to deal with Justin Smith up front, who's, as we see at practice every day, he's just moving whoever he wants to and getting to the quarterback at ease. This matchup coming up with two teams having to handle star defensive linemen, what do you see as being the key to getting through those early reps and having successful tape?
Well, I don't know how much we're going to see Jared Allen. I don't know how much we're going to see Justin Smith. You know, this is the first exhibition game, and I know that sort of the NFL doesn't like the word exhibition game. It's preseason, right? So I'll just, you know, since this is on 49ers.com, I'll say preseason. It's just a sort of knock off the rust a little bit. It's get the starters out there for a series or two. So, you know, for a guy like Joe Staley, a Pro Bowl guy, I mean, I don't know how many times they're going to have Alex Smith dropping back and throwing, but certainly there's a lot of pressure on a guy like Joe Staley, whether it's an exhibition game, preseason game, with nothing at all riding on it, and you know you're only going to be out there for a handful of snaps or 10 snaps or whatever it's going to be. I mean, the same pressure is there that is there for the regular season, because if you mess up against Jared Allen, you know, your quarterback is back there, and the hits hurt just as much, if not more, I'd say, in the preseason games than the regular season. So it's just a matter of you getting the starters in, you know, having them function, get the calls in the huddle for the quarterbacks and the sideline, being on the same page as far as hearing the, you know, the signals coming in through those new helmets or the new speaker system, and then just sort of going through the mechanics of a game day. So that more than anything, I think, is what the 49ers want to get out of this game from the starters aspect.
And looking at the run game and the offensive linemen, that's going to be important in this game. But the real storyline, I think, that people are going to really start talking about is this backup quarterback competition and the development of these young wide receivers. You tweeted yesterday that A.J. Jenkins certainly looked like a first-round pick at practice. Just talk about his strides that he's making. And he's being pushed by these undrafted guys. Nathan Palmer, who joined us on the podcast, making lots of catches. Brian Timms yesterday really showed out, had a strong day. It's an impressive group, but seeing who stands out Friday night is going to give you a good indication. I'd have to think that's going to how it's going to be.
Yeah, I thought yesterday's or Tuesday's practice was, I mean, I'm gonna make a. I don't think this is hyperbole either. You can add your two cents, but I thought not only was it AJ Jenkins' best practice of training camp, I thought that he from start to finish had the best day of any wide receiver on the 49ers, the best single day during training camp yesterday, AJ Jenkins. And I think that's very encouraging. I don't know if the light bulb's gone on. I mean, I'm sure he's still, you know, all these rookies, it's their heads have to be just spinning with all the information that they've gotten over this period of time, off season and into training camp. But I thought Jenkins looked really good yesterday. And the fact of the matter is, for most of the camp, you know, a guy like Nathan Palmer has really stepped up, and at times it's been tough to tell, you know, which one's the first round draft pick. Is it Palmer or is it Jenkins? But I thought Jenkins showed a little bit of everything yesterday. That said, I'm not sure that there's ever been a situation where a first round draft pick at wide receiver has ever come to a team where there are so many proven veterans ahead of him. Michael Crabtree led the team in receptions last year, and I think he had a really good season after a slow start because of that foot injury. I mean, he had more receptions and yards than Vernon Davis. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Randy Moss, you know, that's a little bit of a question. We don't know what Randy Moss is going to be here. I mean, he didn't play last season, and yes, he's had a great off season. He's had a pretty good training camp up to this point, but that's a guy that I think everybody figures, you know, he's going to be there. He's going to be a vital part of the offense. Mario Manningham, Super Bowl hero for the Giants. You know, he left New York hoping to get a starting job, and he has an opportunity here to get a lot of playing time, a lot more playing time perhaps in two receiver sets than he got with the Giants. So A.J. Jenkins hasn't yet distinguished himself as far as finding a role among those veterans. So I think it's going to be very difficult. I think the thing that people just have to realize with A.J. Jenkins is, you know, back off. Give the guy a break. I mean, he's a wide receiver. You know, rarely do rookie wide receivers step in and make an immediate impact. And the 49ers certainly aren't looking for that from A.J. Jenkins. So, you know, it's best for him to just show a little patience and, you know, watch him during this training camp, because during the preseason games, because this might be the last time you see him until next year at this time.
Yeah, you look at around the league, the first-round draft picks of wide receiver Michael Floyd, Justin Blackmon, they're atop the depth chart from day one. You know, a guy like A.J. had to work his way throughout practice, and the strong sign that you like to take from it is confidence is growing. You talked about the best day of any day in camp, and I probably have to agree with that. I mean, most of those catches were in team periods. The high catch that he had against Dante Whitner and Parrish Cox on the post, that was really impressive. I mean, those are the type of plays that Trent Baalke and Jim Harbaugh, you know, saw on tape, 90 catches in his senior year at Illinois, and were like, this is a guy we want to bring in and build our passing game through. And, yeah, he's got to compete with some top guys, like you said, but, you know, A.J.'s got the right attitude. He's coming out working hard, and he's not moping about, you know, the opportunities not being going his way from day one.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you look at some of the players that I've been around who haven't succeeded, you know, the high draft picks who haven't, you know, who sort of fizzled out. And I think the common denominator is, you know, you never know what's inside of a guy, what he's thinking, what his mindset is. But if you talk to a guy enough, you get a pretty good read on what he's all about. And I think a lot of the guys that I've seen through the years who just haven't panned out, you could tell they really weren't that passionate about it. It didn't mean that much to them. You know, were they willing to go the extra yard? How did they deal with adversity? You know, did they bow up and did they fight through it, or did they sort of shrivel up? And to me, what I've seen from AJ Jenkins is a guy who's determined to be a good player. And you know, some of the stuff that has been said about him or whatever, I think it's bothered him. He's claims that, you know, I don't read this stuff, but I think it has. I think pretty clearly it has. But how's he responded? I don't think he's backed down from the challenge at all. So, you know, as a 49er fan, I think there's encouragement there to see that a young guy has sort of, you know, he's stepped up to the challenge. And I think he realizes, you know, that this isn't going to be a year where he's going to be catching 50 passes. But I also think he's patient enough to know that the thing that he can control is just getting better, learning the offense. And then if something happens, if they need him, you know, he should be prepared to make an impact. But it's going to be tough to make an impact with all those names I talked about. You talk about Crabtree, Moss, Manningham. You have Ted Ginn. You have Kyle Williams, who's battling for playing time and has had, I mean, certainly the best offseason of his career. And this is a guy with some skills, I mean, as a slot receiver. So, you know, it'll be tough for AJ to make much of an impact year one. But even if he doesn't catch a pass and he's inactive for the whole season, I don't think that's a red flag that something's wrong with the kid. Mm-hmm. I think we need to judge him 2-3 years down the road.
And we're not even mentioning the quality of cornerbacks he's facing every day in practice. I mean, there's a lot of standout cornerbacks. Matt, thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast, and love getting all your insight and information. We can follow you on Twitter at MayocoCSN. Right.
That is correct.
And we're going to be reading you on CSNBayArea.com, looking on TV, catching you in the post-game show on Comcast, breaking it all down. And I know we have a basketball game coming up you're going to be watching, so we appreciate your time.
All right, Taylor. Thank you very much. And I'll see you out here every day starting, 2 weeks ago until the end of the season, whenever that may happen.
Hopefully it's late into February. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the latest edition of Niner Talk on 49ers.com. I want to say a special thanks to our guests, rookie wide receiver Nathan Palmer and Matt Mayocco of CSNBayArea.com. We're getting ready for the first kickoff of the 2012 preseason. This Friday night, the 49ers take on the Minnesota Vikings, 6 p.m. Pacific time at Candlestick Park. You can watch locally on CBS5 or catch it on the radio by listening to 107.7 The Bone or KMBR 680 on the AM dial. Friday will be the 7th all-time meeting between these teams in the preseason. They last met in 2010 when Brett Favre was the quarterback. If memory serves correct, Patrick Willis had a nice inside blitz that knocked the future Hall of Fame quarterback on his back. This time around, it'll be second-year signal caller Christian Ponder making the start. He'll likely have Toby Gerhart being the starting running back, as Adrian Peterson is still getting back into top shape following a knee injury at the end of last season. These teams will be looking to compete, but it'll mostly be an opportunity for the young backups to show off. Nathan Palmer, who we spoke to on the podcast, is looking for his first opportunity to impress 49er fans in person, and they'll get a great opportunity against a Minnesota Vikings defense that's very stout up front, led by defensive end Jared Allen. Now, it's important to get to the game early, as 90 season ticket holders will be honored during player introductions. 49er faithful can look forward to tailgating and also make their way inside to the new Grand Plaza area for great tailgate and pregame entertainment. Thanks again for everyone listening in to the Niner Talk podcast. Make sure to download our Game Day Live app, where you can listen to the podcast right from your phone right before kickoff. Head over to 49ers.com postgame and you'll see all the great coverage, including press conferences from Jim Harbaugh and Alex Smith. And for more on 49ers.com training camp coverage, visit our Training Camp Central page. Thanks to everyone for listening to the latest edition of Niner Talk. I'm Taylor Price for 49ers.com.